Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 once again. Book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Have you had a good week? Amen. I had an accident last week. You guys heard about that. My phone died on me. So I got a new phone this week and did not realize that when they hooked me up, Q, they did something really bad to me. I'm not an iPhone user. I don't like iPhone products. A lot of people do. Jordan's shaking his head back there. And anyway, here's what they did with my Android. They hooked me up as an iPhone. And so people who had iPhones could not text me, and I had no idea. So I spent an hour and a half on the phone Wednesday. She took my phone because I was so frustrated with it. I was going to chuck it in the Missouri River. She goes, Chad, calm down. It's not the end of the world. So she took it out there, spent an hour and a half there, didn't do nothing. I went there yesterday. I feel like I needed to drop my car off at the mechanic shop. I spent 2.5 hours there yesterday and finally got it straightened. So I'm back in business. So you iPhone users, I can start getting texts. So not that you'll text me anyway, but that's where we're at. Well, let's begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 13. Let's back up to verse number 8, actually, because we dealt with last week not being ashamed of the Lord or of Paul. So let's read this. It says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I like this verse here because I'm just going to reiterate what took place last week. Paul's encouraging Timothy not to be afraid of the testimony of Christ because Christ was crucified. He was also our Savior. He also goes in and says, don't be afraid of me. I'm a prisoner. I'm not only a prisoner of Christ, but I spent prison deal with a lot of my time in prison as well. And then he goes on, and then he invites him to be a partaker in his afflictions. What a way to encourage Timothy to stick around. So let's go on and begin reading in verse number 9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who am believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This last verse that I just read as I get to the end of my lesson this morning is really going to set us up for next week as well. So as we just read this, let's commit some time to prayer. And as I pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you to pray inwardly and just ask God to work in your heart this morning. Lord, we are grateful that we are able to be here once again. We thank you for the beautiful weather that we have been so graciously to be able to be waking up to. I pray that as this day is given to us, that we would take advantage of this day and use it not to bring glory to ourselves, but use it to bring glory to your Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that through this, that we would be able to see souls come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that you just be with me as I give your word to your people. What a tremendous responsibility. Lord, I pray that you would just begin to work. And I know around this country, as many churches have just opened up and they're going into the Word just as we are this morning, Lord, we know that Satan is wanting to attack everything that's going to take place. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would just remove Satan from this place. And Lord, that we will be able to focus upon you. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Last week's lesson, we dealt with Paul telling Timothy not to be ashamed of Christ's testimony. And then he goes on in that verse, and I know I just reiterated, but I'm going to reiterate it again. But he also goes on and says not to be ashamed of Paul the prisoner. And then he goes on and he invites Timothy to be a partaker of his afflictions. I kind of look at it like this. Hey, Timothy, I got shingles. Come on over here. Give me a hug. I'm going to give you some shingles too. That's how I kind of look at that. Hey, Timothy, I got chicken pox. Come, give me a hug, and let's go through this thing together. None of you are nodding your head or laughing right now, so that means you're sleeping. But that's what Timothy is being told by Paul. Come on in, share my afflictions. As we go on, it says, being upfront and bold for Jesus can cause some persecution in the life of the believer. Now, we got to understand something. Paul was a very bold individual. And so because of his boldness, as we see in many of his writings, Paul suffered a lot of persecutions. So with that could come some very difficult times as you and I allow ourselves to be bold for Christ. If there is anyone who is worth suffering for, it is worth suffering for Jesus Christ. Amen. Why is that? Because Christ suffered for us. It wasn't no walk in the park as Jesus was on the cross. It was no walk in the park as he was going through the town, as people were mocking him, spitting at him. There was no walk in the park for him. And so if he's able to do those things for us, we ought to be willing to allow ourselves, first of all, to be bold. And then when boldness comes, we're going to have that persecution. We're going to have that suffering. But it's all worth it because it's not for us. It's for our Heavenly Father. Jesus was not ashamed of us. He was not ashamed of you as he walked up Calvary's road. And as he placed that cross upon him, he was thinking about you. He actually allowed this to happen because you and I were on his mind every step of the way. And I thank God that he gave us a son who was so willing to suffer for us. The burdens that were lifted at Calvary that day was our burdens. He desired for us to take his yoke upon us. The only thing that we should be ashamed of is this, the rejection of Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's the only thing that we really should be ashamed of. So we're going to continue to go on here. Paul had some very good reasons for Timothy not to be ashamed of Christ. But before I go on, I'm going to have a little bit of class participation. If you would, please don't be shy about this. But what are some ways for us not to be ashamed of Christ? Somebody just give me an answer. Praying in public. Did I hear that twice? Okay. What's that?
Talking about him.
Okay. What else?
Handing out tracts.
Exactly. These are things that are being said because obviously we struggle with them. Everything that you guys mentioned is something that I struggle with. And so these are things that you and I should not be ashamed of. Matter of fact, we should have, the word is coming to my mind is great pride. Or maybe excitement of praying in public. Or having great excitement to talking about him. And I think I know what you're saying in that, Sarah, is just really just glorifying Christ for what he's done in your life. A track, being able to just give that track to an individual. By the way, as we're talking about tracks, we have some new tracks that are back there. Kurt's put a lot of work into that, so please take that. We do have some other ones on a table out there. It's called a Baptist bread. It's okay to take those things. Paul had some very good reasons for Timothy not to be ashamed of Christ. Verse number 9 gives us some reasons. And let's read this. It says in verse number 9, it says, who hath saved us is one of the reasons why we should not be ashamed of Christ. Why? Because Christ died for us, and because of his death, he has given us an avenue to be with him in eternity, and that is through salvation. But salvation only comes to an individual when that individual puts his faith, trust, and belief in him and comes to a point in time in his life that he repents of his sins. So because he has saved us, glory to God, hallelujah to that, now because death can come into our bodies and take us over, when we die, we are going to be with the Lord. Now, when we die, if we haven't accepted Christ, you know this, we're going to be separated from him. So Christ saved us. And so with that being said, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Goes on in verse number 9 again, who has saved us, and goes on and says, and called us with a holy calling. Now that Christ has saved you, and that's a great thing for us not to be ashamed of, now he has placed a holy calling upon your life. And it basically deals with the three things that we just talked about here as we spoke publicly. And one of that is praying, talking about the Lord, and passing out tracts. Those are some areas that God has called us to do some things. So as we continue to go on here, if it wasn't for Jesus being crucified, we would not have the salvation that we have today. By the way, is that salvation that we have today just for us? No. What are we to do with that salvation that we have? Share it. Exactly. We're to share it. So why do we have a hard time sharing the Word of God, sharing the gospel to other believers, to other people? Is it because maybe fear might kick in? Or could it be the fact that what we're talking about here is ashamed? We have nothing to be ashamed of. Why? Because Christ saved us, and with that salvation, he has given us a calling. Verse number 9, with his salvation, now we have a higher calling in life, and that is a holy calling. God calls you to become the person he created you to be. Did you get that? We'll say it again. God calls you to be the person he created you to be. And I'm going to finish the statement. And to do the things he designed you to do. Now, I hope that sinks in as we go through this. He will partner with you as you prayerfully move forward. And this process is a spiritual journey in which you will learn new things about yourself and about your relationship with the Lord. You know, we were designed not to bring glory to each other, but we were designed to bring glory to God. That's what salvation does for us. You know, we were designed to serve God. We're also designed to serve each other. You know, I'm in a place of service now. I'm called to serve you. This morning, I got a text at 4:30 in the morning from an individual in our church who was experiencing some dizzy spells. And I didn't receive the text until I finally became cautious enough. But it came through at 4:30. I didn't realize what time it was, and the text said this: I'm experiencing some dizzy spells. Please come and take me to the hospital. I didn't respond because I didn't really hear what was going on. And I finally looked at it a couple hours later, and I texted right back, and the response says, that's okay, I've improved, I'm resting. And the reason why that text went out, because they know that I'm here to serve. God designed us not just to serve him, but God designed us to serve each other. And that's what we are to do with one another. So he will partner with you as you prayerfully move forward. Timothy's calling in life was to be in the ministry. I'm going to say something here, and I hope it resonates with all of us. We are all called to minister. With that holy calling, with that calling upon your life, it's not our job to just sit in the chairs and to get all the spiritual information that we can ever get in life, but now we are called to minister to other people. With that being said, every believer has a gift to minister. You know why folks don't know what their gift is? For this reason, they're not asking God. Nor do they care. But we all have a gift to minister. Some have a gift of just opening up a conversation, just making people feel so relaxed, so comfortable, that they're able to give the gospel just like that. And that is a gift. I wish I had that gift. Some have a gift of just making people feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. Those are some gifts I don't have, but God's equipped people in His church with those types of gifts. And because we have those gifts, we are to use that gift to minister. We have two ladies in our church who play the piano. They don't use that gift for our pleasure. They use that gift because it brings pleasure to God. It's exercising their gift that they are giving. And they both do a fantastic job. Not only has God gifted individuals to play the piano, but God has gifted people to be able to run our sound system and our video streaming and all those things. That's a gift. Some of us can go back there and look at that and become so confused. And the ones that God has given them a gift, they're able to use this to minister. And we might not see who it's being ministered to through YouTube, but there are folks who are actually watching. And our webpage, people look at those things. God has given us another gift in the music industry as well, is with people with beautiful voices who are able to project a wonderful sound from their voice box, and are able to use that and be able to sing such beautiful songs to minister to our hearts. One of my favorite songs, it became my favorite song. I'm wanting to ask Jeff to sing this again. But we sang the song when we were in Israel, and Jeff was able to lead us in a singing of "He Is Here." Whoa, what a fantastic song. We've sang that a few times before we took off. He is here. What a blessing it is to hear those words and how it's able to minister to our hearts and how it's able to realize, yes, Jesus is here right now. You have a gift to minister. With that being said, when Jesus calls you, He will equip you with the necessary skills that will be needed. He gives you the ability to do these things. He isn't calling you for your glory, but He is calling you for the glory of His Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus didn't call you for His personal glory, because when Jesus was here upon the earth, who did He want to glorify? His Father. That's what it was about. And He wants us to use our gifts to minister to people, to bring glory to His Heavenly Father. By the way, when His Father is exalted, the Son is exalted as well. So He will equip you. He has a purpose for you in the ministry. And you might not reach the point where you're going to be an evangelist, missionary, or a preacher, but God's equipped you to use you somewhere in a ministry that He's designed for you. But a lot of folks don't get involved because, one, they don't want to know what their gift is. Two, they're not prayerfully considering things. They're not partnering with the Lord. And so they allow other people to take more task upon themselves. But God has a purpose for every single one of us. Why? Because of His grace, even before the world began. What does it mean if God calls you? It means you must live your life as His servant. You are meant to serve Him both heartily, using everything you have, including some things. Here it is. Including your time. That's a tough one. Because a lot of us, we've allowed ourselves to be so busy in our world today, time is very valuable to us. And so we don't have a lot of time to give. Years ago, I had an elderly neighbor. I loved her tremendously. I remember when we moved there, I was able to guess her age. I said, what was her name? Pauline. I was thinking Margaret across the street. I said, Pauline, if I was able to guess your age, I will let you give me a kiss on the cheek. Boy, she lit up. She lit up. I'm not kidding you. I knew how to sweet talk the old lady, so she was a tremendous friend, to be honest with you. And I said, Pauline, you're 85 years of age. And I knew it. I knew exactly what her age was, and I was just playing with her. And she got so thrilled. She came and gave me the biggest kiss on the cheek. that I had to wipe off for a week. But she said something to me that rings true to this day. And this has been about, man, almost 20 years ago. She says, "Chad, where are the young people at?" I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "They make no time for us elderly. We've allowed ourselves to be so busy that we don't have time, not even for our families, but here's the sad thing, we don't even have time to minister to folks for Jesus Christ." What are you saying? We don't have time for the Lord. This is why I said last week, we need to scale back on a lot of things in our life so that we can make more time for Him. And we all need to make that realization in our life. So with that being said, our time, our resources, and our skills. For some reason, I put time in there twice. Must have been a typo. There are a few types of calling into ministry as a believer. The first calling is known as the Damascus Road call. We find this in the book of Acts chapter 9. As Paul was on his way to Damascus, here's what happened. To make the long story short, so we understand this, he had a divine encounter with the Lord. That was his calling. We know Paul's life previous to that wasn't a life glorifying to God. His life was pursuing believers, doing horrible things to them. But on the road to Damascus, guess what? When God wants you, you're not going to get away from God. You might be able to think you can outrun God. You might be able to think you can outfox God. But when God wants you, He's going to bring you to a place to where He's going to deal business with you. You're going to have a divine encounter with God Himself. So let me say this. If God's calling you, don't run. Just say, "Okay, God, this is your will in my life. I don't understand it. I don't think I have that gift, but God, you're going to equip me. You're going to use me for your ministry because I'm one of your ministers. And so, God, since you know what's better for me, I'm going to give in and I'm just going to allow you to do this." But so often we fight that. And I think we fight that because we're scared. Because a lot of us are afraid, well, I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go to China. I don't want to go to Brazil. That's what we think. No, this is your home. This is what God's called you to. This is our mission field. This is who we're supposed to minister to. So he has a divine encounter. The second calling is known as the progressive call. The progressive call is the most common type of call today. This calling involves a gradual sequence of events across your life until it finally dawns on you that full-time ministry is what God wants you to do. And here's another calling. It's known as the third calling, and that is the open door calling. This begins as cool opportunities that open the door to committing the rest of one's life to ministry. And here's how this could start out. One, it can start out as filling in teaching for a Sunday school class. You know, that's how I got started. I remember years ago, Brother Schroeder was here. He was our youth leader, and he was getting ready to leave. And that's when I began to take over the teenage class. And little did I know how that was going to change my whole life. So it can start off by just teaching a Sunday school class, or even filling the pulpit for pastors who need that in our area. You know, that was one of the greatest times of my life. I thoroughly enjoyed filling pulpits for other preachers. And I don't know what it is, but man, it's something amazing. And I enjoyed that part of my life. It could also happen while on a mission trip as well. This can happen by seeing a fruitful ministry take place in a culture hungry for the Word of God. things begin to change in your mind because we're from America, where we're so cold to things, and we want to keep distance from any type of anything to do with God. But when you go to a foreign field where they're hungry for the Word of God, and you see that culture just gravitating towards it, you see the missionaries going out, and you're seeing souls saved, and you're seeing lives transformed, and that catches you, and you just have a hunger for that, and that can cause you to go into full-time ministry as well. Why? Because you're seeing lives transformed, and you want to be a part of that. That's one of the reasons why Brother Phil Prettyman, years ago, got out of evangelism as he did a trip over to Uganda, and he saw this take place as he was preaching over there. And God gave him such a hunger. And so he gets out of the field of evangelism, and now he has surrendered his life to being a missionary to Uganda. And he set up a tremendous Bible Institute there. He's got so many things going because of the hunger that he caught while he's over there. So that's called the open door call. As we continue to go on, his holy calling has now been made clear because of the appearing of our Lord. In verse number 10, it says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." One, Jesus hath conquered death. Amen. It could not hold him. Thank God for that. He brought life and immortality. And he was able to do this through the gospel being brought to light. Through this event is why Paul and Timothy and many others have been called into the ministry. Paul is a preacher who wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But unfortunately, we all don't have that attitude. Because when presented with opportunities, we shy away from those things. We need to have the attitude of Paul and not be ashamed of Christ and proclaim the gospel. Amen? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're encouraged to do. That's what Paul is spending this time in this first chapter here. He's encouraging Timothy because he knows of the difficulties. He knows of the harsh circumstances that might come up. He knows of the tribulations that might come upon Timothy, the persecution that's going to come his way. And he knows when a normal man faces those things, he knows that man's natural tendency is to walk away and not serve God anymore. So Timothy is being encouraged by Paul. And we all need encouragement. I enjoy going out door knocking with another individual. Why? Because it's encouraging. It just does something. I can't explain it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then let me encourage you to go. Paul is a preacher who wasn't ashamed of Christ or of the gospel. It was through Jesus' death he became an apostle and a teacher. And his specific call in life was to who? It was to the Gentiles. But where did Paul always go first? Exactly. He went to the synagogue to preach to the Jews. The Jews rejected him. What did he do? He shook the dust off his feet, walked away, and he went right back to where God called him, right to the Gentiles, and gave them the gospel. And the Gentiles, they are hungry for the Word of God. And so he's able to preach. And he's able to preach the salvation of Jesus Christ. And thousands have accepted the Lord as their Savior. So his call was to the Gentiles. His appointment as a preacher / pastor was from God. He held that office because of God and not because of man. How do I prove that? Verse number 11 says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Who does the calling? God. Who makes the appointment? God. It's not man making it for man. We got to understand that. God does the calling. I did not call Brother Ralph Rice into the ministry. God called Brother Ralph Rice into the ministry. I did not call Pastor Springer to start a church in his home. God called Pastor Springer to start a church in his home. It's an appointment made by God. Amen? Because if it's an appointment made by man, then we failed. Then we're saying that we're more higher than God is, and we understand God more than God understands himself, and so we're going to appoint man. What happens when man has appointed people in the Bible? Look at Saul. Let's look at that example. Man wanted him because he was tall. He stood tall above the people. He's a good-looking fella. So they got what they wanted, and look what happened. Failure. God does the calling. God makes the appointments. And if you don't like it, well, take it up with God. He wrote it, not me. Unfortunately, we don't see it that way today for this reason, and it is this: because we have westernized the Bible. We want to change the Word of God to our way of thinking and beliefs. And all we need to do is follow his word according to how he wants us to follow. See, we change the word of God. We want to make it believe what we wanted to, I'm trying to say this correctly. We wanted to be the way we wanted to be. Does that make sense? I think I got it out right. There are so many false teachers out there who corrupt the word of God. I was watching this documentary last night about Benny Hinn. And we all know who Benny Hinn is. He would go around, and I'm not kidding you. He would take off his jacket, and he thought that he can just heal people. And he had people up in front of his audience, and he'd just take this and fling it around, and just people just begin to fall backwards. And, you know, I'm healed. I kid you not, that's what he would do. He believed that he could heal. God gave that to specific people in the Word of God. He twisted Scripture. And he has so many false conversions underneath him. But here's something that is very interesting. A lot of people don't know this. He had a nephew who was involved in his ministry. And at a young age, at the age between third and fourth grade, God began to work in his life. He began to show pictures of the mansions that Benny Hinn would have, the Rolls Royce, the BMWs, all the luxury cars you can think of. As he would go overseas and begin to preach the prosperity gospel to poverty-ridden people, he would stop off on a little island, and he would drop $40,000 to $50,000 in this little island just to stay all night there. And God began to work in his nephew's heart. And his nephew began to see the truth, and he got out of it. And he doesn't even claim Benny Hinn is his uncle anymore. His dad was a part of this ministry as well. He began to see the error of his way. He said this. He said, my uncle was putting Scripture to what he wanted it to be, not what God wanted it to be. See, there's danger in that. So we want to change the Word of God to our way of thinking and our beliefs, and all we need to do is follow his word according to how he wants us to follow. Verse number 12, it says, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed and persuaded, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul counts it a privilege to have suffered for the cause of Jesus. And because of this attitude that he had, he was not ashamed of Christ, nor was he ashamed of the gospel. You know, we might go through that persecution, but don't be ashamed. Be excited. Man, why am I going through this? Because it's for the glory of Christ. It's for the glory of Christ. God's using you during that time. He's using you to grow you. He was thrilled that he put his belief in Jesus. And whatever he commits to the Lord, he knows that the Lord is able to walk him through the difficulties. We don't think about it when we're going through the time that the Lord is with us, But after the fact, maybe a month, maybe 6 months later, we see, man, God was with me during this circumstance. God was with me as I was going through this persecution, and he brought me through. Let me say this. You might think you're going through persecution alone, but Jesus is right there with you. He's with you every step of the way. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not facing things alone. We might think that. And the reason why we think that is because woe is me, and we put our eyes upon ourselves. That's what we do during those times. Paul gives Timothy some great advice that is in verse number 13. And I'm winding down here. Verse number 13, it says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." I'm going to elaborate on this a little bit more next week, but I'm just going to give you a teaser here. I want to take a further look into sound words. But first of all, Paul wasn't just saying mere words here, but he's saying here, hold on to the doctrines. Don't give in to false teachings and stay away from false teachers. But here are four words that I'm going to give you that we're going to look into next week. One is healthy. The second word is wholesome. The third word that we're going to look at next week is health-giving. And finally, the fourth word is healing. Just to give you a little bit of a taste of what we're going to go into next week. The Word of God is like medicine to our bones. Amen? Healthy. We have the wholesome words of Jesus, which are sound words. We have health giving by the giving of the Word of God to those who are in need. By the way, I'm not just talking about the unsaved. The unsaved need the Word of God, but I'm going to stop here. We as saved believers need the Word of God as well. Don't forget that. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, doesn't mean that's just talking about everybody else. That's talking about us. We need the Word of God. How can we function as believers and be successful if we're ignoring the Word of God? Okay? So that is health-giving. And finally, it is through healing. And that is the Word of God, Brother Ralph, mends the brokenhearted. Mends the brokenhearted. And those are four things that we're going to deal with next week, along with some other things. I'm just kind of giving you a little bit of a sneak peek what's to take place. But I hope this has been encouraging to you as we're going through this. And I know we're taking a great deal of time. I'm in no hurry to get through Timothy. None whatsoever. So I hope these last 2 weeks we can understand, one, not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he suffered for us. He took the beatings for us. He died for us. He became our Savior when we accepted him. Two, don't be ashamed of Paul. Don't be ashamed of his teaching, because his teachings came from the Word of God, came from God himself. Don't be ashamed because he considered himself to be a prisoner of Christ. By the way, that's not a bad thing to be considered of. And don't be ashamed of Paul because he spent a majority of his time in prison. He used that time to still minister to folks. And he wants us to share in his afflictions. Amen? And don't be ashamed of your holy calling. Don't be ashamed of the gifts that God has given you, because he's using it so that you can minister to the people who need to minister to, be ministered to. By the way, do we need to minister to the lost of this world? Yes, we do. But Charlie, you and I, we need to minister to each other. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. And when we minister to each other, Doug, you know what we're doing? We're edifying one another. And when we're edifying one another, Shelley, we're bringing glory to God. Amen? I'm excited. Amen? Well, we're done today. Now you guys all got big smiles on your face. Whew, we made it through. And I was told this morning, please don't beat me up so bad. I don't beat you folks up. That's the Holy Spirit. I just give the word of God as he tells me to. Let's have a word of prayer, have a good time of fellowship, and looking forward to Brother Ralph Rice coming and speaking our hearts here in a little bit. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your precious word that you've allowed us to read this morning. Lord, I thank you for men like Paul and men like Timothy who had a desire to continue the gospel in your name. And Lord, they were able to do these things because of this. They were not ashamed of you. Lord, help us in this area. We are weak. But God, we can be so proud of you, so excited to serve you if we're to give our whole heart, our whole life to you, the way these two gentlemen did. We thank you this morning. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.